Doctor Who special airing November 25th, 2023, The Star Beast. Hello, hello everyone! Today I'm back to talk about something I'm super excited about. We haven't had a new Doctor Who in what feels like forever, but has at least been a very long time. And as a starting warning, same as always, this is a spoiler-full podcast. Who knows what I'll say, but I've definitely seen the whole episode and we'll be talking about the whole thing, and twists and turns and spoilers aplenty. All coming ahead for you. So if you haven't watched the episode and you don't want spoilers, don't listen to this. Before we get into it, I just want to give a brief overview of my history, I suppose, with Doctor Who. I have not watched much of classic. I've seen maybe two or three classic episodes. I have seen every episode of New Who, starting with 9. And I am a huge fan. I liked 9, loved 10, loved 11, not a huge fan of 12, loved 13. So that is where I'm at. I really loved Jodie Whittaker, and I didn't think that a single episode she did was a banger, but her first season is solid, in my opinion. I really loved it. Her second season also has some really good episodes. It also has, like, Orphan 55 is in there, and enough said, that is not a great episode. But I love her as the Doctor. I love her group of companions. Yaz is amazing. Graham and Ryan are great. I had a good time with Jodie as the Doctor. I know that she got a lot of hate. That era got a lot of hate. And I... whatever. Honestly, the thing that I didn't like was there wasn't enough of it. I felt very gypped by especially that third quote-unquote season that was, I think, 6 episodes or something stupid. It was very short, not a lot going on, not a lot of episodes. I felt very gypped that, of course, the first female Doctor gets way less episodes than any other Doctor, except for 9. But he only did one season. And, 10, 11, 12 got way more episodes than 13. And that's just... bull, in my opinion. Did not like how few episodes we got of Jodie. But the episodes we did get, I would say, overall, I enjoyed. Again, Orphan 55 exists. There were some bad episodes. But, as a whole, as a run, I enjoyed myself with Jodie, and I was sad to see Jodie go. I'm also, I think, in the minority of that I liked the Timeless Child stuff. I thought it was interesting. I hope they go into it more. I understand that my opinion is not what everybody thinks. But I enjoyed the whole Jodie Whittaker era. I had fun with most of it. But coming into the special now, we're past Jodie Whittaker. Her last episode, she regenerates into Tennant, who is the 10th Doctor. But now he's the 14th Doctor. So this is not him going back to 10. This is now he's number 14, which I find interesting. And so she has regenerated back to an old face, essentially. And that's where this special, The Star Beast, comes in. That he now shows up back in London, meeting Donna 15 years later, who is his companion from way back when he was 10. And she had the meta crisis, had to have her memories removed to save her life. And if she remembers the Doctor, she will die. Bum, bum, bum! Very dramatic. And so he, in this special... okay, before I get into this, I think I am going too quickly. So, starting back. Overall view of the special, I enjoyed the heck out of it. I thought it was so much fun. I'm very excited to see the other two specials and the Christmas special when it comes out. And I also really love that it's on Disney Plus because it makes it so much easier for me to watch it. In the seasons past, I've had to, you know, get different subscription things or buy it on Amazon or do like other things. I've had to hunt down seasons in the past. I haven't felt like for the past few years it's been readily accessible anywhere that I usually have. And I already have Disney Plus, and now it's just available on Disney Plus, and I love that. So, thumbs up for the ease and accessibility of Doctor Who now. And I just hope that they eventually get some of the older stuff on there too, and not just the new, brand new stuff. But I don't know if that's happening or not. But I would love it if they did it. Yay! Okay. Anyway, moving on. I enjoyed this special. It was a lot of fun. And now I'm going to talk about details. Okay, so Tennant lands. We get a scene of the outside of the TARDIS. He lands and starts wandering about London a little bit, and he's all happy to be there, which is fun. And then he helps somebody with boxes who's like blocking their face and realizes it's Donna and has this moment of like, oh crap, and puts the boxes back. And then she's like, oi, what are you doing? And so he helps her, and then she starts calling Rose, and he has another freak out, like, Rose is here? Oh my God. Of course, it is not that Rose, it is Donna's daughter named Rose. And yeah, so he meets both of them and helps with the boxes a little bit. And then, of course, there is a spaceship that crash lands on Earth, and Donna is busy repacking or restacking things in the boxes, fixing them, and completely misses the spaceship crashing, which goes along with that theme of Donna misses everything. So she does. The spaceship, she misses it. It's a conspiracy, but Rose sees it and is really excited about it. Doctor runs off and finds a taxi that Donna's husband, Sean, is driving, gets him to drive the doctor down to the crash site, gets down there and finds a unit. And this really cool new character, I don't remember her name, but she's sort of the head of the team of unit that's there. She is in a wheelchair, and I really think they did a good job of having her in the wheelchair, and she has some cool stuff in her wheelchair later, like it's equipped out, and it's very cool. But she is a really cool character, getting to talk to the doctor. The doctor's kind of talking her through and sort of info dumping for everybody. If you don't haven't watched old seasons and don't know the story about how Donna had the meta crisis and needs to have her memory had to have her memory, drained out of her, and how if she remembers she'll die, and so it's this big crisis. Got to keep Donna from knowing about this, and yet he keeps running into her, right away when he lands in London. She's there, and so is her daughter, and so is her husband, and it's like, fate or something. Maybe the TARDIS is pulling them all together. Something's happening. Anyway, so he kind of info dumps on her about that. And then we look at the ship. We realize that the ship did not crash land. It parked itself where it is. It's there on purpose. And then the doctor runs off with some other unit soldiers off to another location where they found like an escape pod or some such. And some of the units people stay with the ship. And so to stick with that, the soldiers that stay with the ship, they go upstairs, and that's where it comes in with this woman who's in the wheelchair is not able to go with them, because they have to take the stairs to get up to the entrance to the ship. And so they don't make a huge deal of it, but they do. I think it was very realistic of, she's like, don't make me be the problem. Go, do what you need to do. And so they go up to the ship, and the door opens, and this weird, like, beautiful purple blue cloud something sort of goes into them, and then their eyes shine, and you can tell they are somehow like hypnotized or taken over by this glowing light, and they are no longer under the control of the unit. And so we now, and then Rose, Donna's daughter, finds Beep the Meep, and who has crash landed in her neighborhood, and takes him back to her little shed that she's created. And she has all these little like stuffed animal toys that she's made that he fits right in with. When Donna comes in and doesn't know about Beep the Meep, and he's trying, they, the Meep is trying to hide in all the stuffed animals. And Donna ends up poking it in the eye. And she's like, what is that? And has a whole full on freak out before the doctor shows up to try and help with the Meep. And then on the street, we have a very sort of confused thing because we have the Wrath, Worf, I'm not sure, big green bug-looking alien things who are obviously chasing the Meeps. We have the unit soldiers who don't know really who they're fighting at this point. And then we've got the unit soldiers that have been taken over by a blue light. We also don't know who they're fighting for. And then, of course, we have the Meep. But so all of them are sort of interacting and fighting. And so Donna and Donna's mom and Donna's husband and Donna's daughter and the doctor and the meep all end up sort of escaping from Donna's home. They end up going up to the attic and then breaking through the attics across like row homes to get down the street to their car, and use the car to get away. And the doctor, when he's getting away, does so, checks one of the soldiers that's down that has been shot by the sort of green bug alien things, the Warth Warrior, Wrath, I don't know, Warth Warriors, I think, and notices something about them. And he says some, and he says this line as they're leaving, "Oh, we've either gotten away or we've made a very big mistake." And so those are your sort of hints to watch for Beep the Meep. And this is something that I was sort of spoiled on. I didn't know for sure, but I had definitely heard in rumblings through the fandom that this obviously this is not a brand new story. The Star Beast is based on a comic strip that was published a long time ago, so this is not a brand new story. And there are multiple stories of Beep the Meep, and I knew that Beep the Meep was a villain in these old comic strips and things. So I went in with the assumption that Beep the Meep would somehow be a villain, but so far in the episode, Beep the Meep is very cute and adorable, and I want a stuffy version of Beep the Meep, and I think it'll be great merch when they start selling it. Love it. Want Beep the Meep merch? Go. Okay, so they end up at this, like, garage, car garage thing, and the doctor pulls out a wig and turns himself into a judge, calls in the top of the Warth Warriors. They have Beep the Meep, and then he calls on some sort of I don't know, intergalactic rules for the court system, and puts them both on trial to see what's going on. And this is when the Warth Warriors are able to tell him that, yeah, they're here to collect Beep the Meep. And he also has now saying that, you weren't killing the soldiers, you were just stunning them. And they confirm that, yes, their guns are a non-lethal, temporary, knocking people out, basically. And that they were not here to kill anybody, but they are here to capture the Meep. And they explain that the Meep's story is very tragic, that the Meep race were around a sun that was sentient, so a sentient sun, which we have encountered in the past, suns with sentience, which I think, what is it, the Satan pit, or something like that. It was way back when there was a star that was sentient, that they tried to, no, that might not have been it, but there have been stars with sentience stars in the past. I remember a story where they were trying to go and get energy out of a star, but it was a sentient star, and so they had to give it back. And the star was like attacking them with its sentience. Anyway, point being that this was a sentient star that the Meep's planet was revolving around, and the star essentially went insane and pushed its insanity into the Meeps and turned them into the cutest little murderous psychopaths you will ever see. And so Beep the Meeps, or the Meeps in general, had gone out and attacked and kidnapped and eaten some high commander people, and so they've been searching for them all, and all of the Meeps pretty much have been exterminated at this point because they would prefer death to capture, and so they refused to surrender ever, and so they've all been killed except for the commander, Beep the Meep. And that he is, they're out to capture Beep the Meep and put him in custody, essentially because he is not safe. And then the doctor says, "Okay, Beep, what do you, Beep the Meep, what do you got to say? Like, what's your side of the story?" And that's when Beep the Meep crumbles. And, there's this great scene on the face where it goes from this cutest little, like, big-eyed face to, like, these scary teeth come out. And he's like, "Oh, to hell with it." And goes off about how Beep the Meep is going to murder everyone and, eat them all and take over and blah blah blah, and kills the two Wrath Warriors, which is very sad, and then uses their like the unit members, the soldiers that it has taken over, to transport the nobles and then and the doctor back to his ship. And Beep the Meep's ship is going to take over, is going to go off, and in doing so is going to take out all of London. Because, of course it is, because it's got some sort of propulsion thing that's going to destroy a 5-mile radius to blast off the planet. And Beep the Meep is very psychotically happy about how many people are going to be killed by him doing this, which is not nice. So things happen. The doctor gets the rest of the nobles, Donna's mom and husband and daughter, to run off, but Donna comes with him, and they end up in some control room where they're pressing a bunch of buttons to try and stop the ship from destroying London and taking off, and in so doing, he has to give Donna back her memories, because they get, like, sort of trapped on opposite sides of this impenetrable clear wall that comes down. And so he does, he returns the memories, and they're able to save the day, but then Donna sort of faints. But then she comes back, and we learn that the reason that this came back, that she was able to come back, is that the powers are now spread between her and her daughter. They're not only on her, and that is a more manageable thing. Still not long term, but much more short term manageable. And so she was able to, like, not die, which I think was pretty fabulous. And then they're able to eject Beep the Meep from the spaceship, which is pretty cute. They have sent him flying, and then you can hear him kind of mumbling as the parachute sort of glides him back down to Earth. And then he's captured and taken away to go to prison. But he has this sort of ominous last line of, wait, you know, two-hearted, because it turns out the Beep the Meep has two hearts, the same as the doctor. And so Beep says that there are, you know, two-hearted creatures are rare. Wait till I tell the boss. We don't know who the boss is, but that was an interesting little tidbit. I'm interested to know where they're going with that. Who's Beep's boss? Beep the Meep's boss. Very interested to know about Beep the Meep's boss. And then we're left with Donna and Rose, and I think at this point is when we see the flashback, but we might have seen it a little bit earlier. But you see when Rose got that flush of information too, the same time that Donna was sort of reactivated, so was Rose, and she now has all this Time Lord energy and was able to do a bunch of stuff to help from the outside. And so that was all very nice and good. And now, and during all this fighting and stuff is also when we see that unit woman in the wheelchair, she helps them escape originally, and then she also has some cool, like, blaster guns and things attached to her wheelchair, which I thought were very fun. Cool point. Cool thing to do with that. Anyway, now we're in the back at the end there, and Donna and Rose still have too much energy, but they are able to, and they have this really cool scene because Rose is trans, and so we've gotten hints of, or it's been confirmed earlier in the episode, there were things where a neighborhood boy was sort of making fun of Rose earlier and saying something along the line, or calling her Jason and dead naming her. And I thought it was interesting that they said with picking the name Jason, that it was somehow like naming, it was Donna sort of remembering and naming her child after the doctor. Because Jason, the meaning of that name is healer, which, you know, doctor, healer. So it was a way to sort of name her child doctor. And then it's showing that Rose has some of that memories as well, or something internally, because, you know, when Donna initially named her child, she chose Jason, meaning healer, doctor. And then when Rose got to pick her own name, she picked Rose, which also has a very strong connotation and connection to the doctor. So I thought it was a very cool way to have both of those names and show that both of them have some sort of I don't know, intuition or remembrance in there with the names that they both chose, which is pretty cool. And that's as much as we really get at the beginning. And we get a little scene of the grandma like accepting that Rose is trans, but you know, not being how I would term it is sort of self-conscious about, you know, not wanting to say anything, in her words, sexist or wrong, and not really 100% comfortable with the transition yet, but very much supportive, just more on the, you know, information gathering side of things. Donna is 100% supportive and wanting to go off and like get those neighborhood boys in trouble for making fun of her daughter. And that's as much as we get of the fact that Rose is trans until the very end of the episode when they make this cool point where I really liked it anyway, which is not the first time I've heard this point. I've heard people making it as soon as the doctor turned into a woman with Jodie Whittaker's doctor, of the doctor being trans and being able to, or I don't know, trans, but like gender fluid. How about that? Gender fluid. The doctor's gender fluid. And able to, you know, swap genders and sexes between regenerations, which is interesting and something that I found very interesting about the Doctor and about Jodie's run as the Doctor. There were definitely multiple times where they brought up the fact that that 13 being a woman made the situations a little different and was an interesting way for a character to sort of learn about sexism firsthand. I don't know, it really worked well for me. It's, you know, I loved Jodie as the Doctor. So it was a really cool thing, I think, the way they did this at the end, where they talk about the fact that Rose is sort of showing her Time Lordness by the fact that that Time Lords, they're saying, are non-binary. That they, you know, can sort of be gender fluid and swap them back and forth and don't necessarily stick to the gender norms and such. And that she finally feels like herself now that she's kind of got that knowledge. And then they make another little joke to it when they say that, you know, gender, they're able, they have all this Time Lord power, Donna and Rose, and they make a little joke essentially that a man is never going to figure out how to do this, and too bad you're not still a woman because she would have understood this. And they're able to just let it go because women are able to just let go of the power and men want to like hold on to it forever. That's kind of the implication I got there. Which I don't know if it's 100% true, but it does seem to be a nice generalization and relatively true enough. And it worked really well, and it was a funny line, and I liked it. They were able to sort of give up their Time Lord energy and go back to being themselves, but this time Donna got to keep her memories, which is very cool. And oh, another way you knew that Rose had kept the memories is the little toys that she was making. The little stuffies and things, they were all, we went back and looked at them. They're all different creatures that Donna and the doctor had seen. So she had some subconscious remembrance of some of this stuff anyway. It was a very cool moment. I really liked it. And the doctor wins the day. Yay! So then they go back to the TARDIS. And he asks if Donna wants to go for one last trip. And they have a little cool conversation between Donna and the doctor about, like, well, why does it always have to be one last trip with you? Why can't we just, like, be friends in real life and you can stop over for a tea or whatever? And there's a coffee machine on the TARDIS now, in the hub, which is cool, and it makes a nice cup of coffee for Donna. And Donna's wandering around with her cup of coffee and, of course, spills it on the TARDIS console, which you knew was going to happen because the story that happened right before was she was talking about how she lost her job because she spilled coffee on a computer. And she's like, oh no, not again, something like that, as she spills it on the TARDIS console. And that's, you know, lots of sparks and craziness, and they can be anywhere in time and space. And you see the TARDIS take off, and Donna's mom is freaking out, like, I knew this would happen. Rah! And so they're all left behind, Donna's family. And they had mentioned Wilf, that Wilf, you know, they were going to go see Wilf, maybe. But he was not in this episode, which is sad. I have seen the pictures that the actor who plays Wilf was back for one of the three specials, at least. So hopefully he'll be back next time or the time after in one of these three specials. Because I love Wilf, and the actor who plays him has passed since filming. This will be the last time Wilf appears. So I'm very excited to see how it happened. I was sort of expecting him to be in this episode, and he was not, and that was a little disappointing. But the episode as a whole was still fantastic. I had so much fun. I am so excited for next week. Cannot wait. And I hope you all enjoy it. I highly recommend going out and watching The Star Beast. I hope you love it as much as I do. I hope you have a great nostalgic time with it. And yeah, that's about all I have to say. I really, really enjoyed it. I can't wait for the next couple specials. And I thought it was fabulous. Beep the Meep is a great little, again, the cutest murderous psychopath ever. And I love that contrast. It was so great, that scene where, like, the face shifted. And I really wish I hadn't been spoiled, because I was waiting for the shift the whole time, because I knew from other things that Beep the Meep was a villain somehow. So I didn't know the details of what, like, about, you know, them being taken over by the sentient sun or anything like that, but I did know that Beep the Meep was somehow going to be evil, and so I was waiting for it, and I think it would have been it could have been a cooler experience if I didn't have that sort of expectation at all. So I'm kind of sad about that, but it still worked really well, and I was still not sure how it would happen, and I was still very interested to see what was going on. And it was a relatively simple little story of just some aliens on Earth, you know, no crazy over-the-top thing. The Doctor was able to solve the problems pretty easily. But I thought it went really well. I thought the production value was great. I thought Beep the Meep was adorable running around with the Doctor before the turn. And they did a really good job on, like, the puppet and stuff for Beep the Meep. And yeah, everybody was fabulous. I love Rose. I hope Rose shows up again. I think Rose, honestly, I know that Rose is not the companion, so she's not going to be out staying on the TARDIS, but I wish she was, because that'd be fabulous. Although she's only supposed to be, I think, 16 in the show, so she's a little young at this point in her timeline, but they could easily pick her up in a couple of years, you know, go forward. So either way, I really hope Rose shows up again. I think she'd be a great recurring character. And honestly, Donna and her family would be great little recurring characters. Not as full-time companions, but, you know, people that the Doctor checks in on when he's on Earth every once in a while. Kind of the way Wilf was for a few years back then after Donna forgot. The Doctor still saw Wilf a couple times, especially in that last episode. Where before David Tennant regenerates. So I think having some, like, people on Earth that the Doctor sees and every once in a while is a fun concept. I like it that we get to see kind of the same people on Earth every once in a while. And I think Rose could be a great one of those to, like, watch her, you know, kind of grow up. Because yes, at 16, it'd be a little much to see her without her mom, but in a couple years, after she's a little bit older, I think it would be fabulous. So I really loved her as a character. Yeah, I think that's all I've got for today. So I really loved The Star Beast. And I just wanted to share that because I had a really fun time watching it. I hope everybody else loves it. I'm very excited for next week. Yay, Doctor Who. I'm so excited. Doctor Who is back. And we've got these three specials and a Christmas special already figured out. And then another, like, the first season of 15 has already been filmed. I think they're already working on his second season. So I'm not sure when it's coming out, but I've heard that it may be even January. So not that long, hopefully. Fingers crossed, there'll be lots of new Doctor Who content coming at you, which I am so excited about. In any case, that's all I've got for you right now. And allons-y, off we go. Bye.